Let's pray. Lord, we confess that many of us are here wanting this morning. We're wanting things of life. We're wanting things that don't satisfy because we forget that we have a good shepherd who has provided all that we need for life and godliness. Lord, we pray that you would have your rightful place on the throne in our hearts this morning in our church. We pray that you would be glorified among us. God, guide our thoughts and our hearts and our minds to your words. May you apply them to each one of us this morning, however they need to be applied. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bible open to Psalm 23. Thank you, worship team. It's a great passage. And pray for me as I preach because I'm not exactly sure where I'm going with it. I wrote 4 different sermons this week because it's such a good passage, and so I would work on it, and then I would like what I have, and then I kind of reworked it and wrote a different one, and then tried to consolidate into 1, and then that became 3, and then tried to get from 3 down to 1, and then that became a 4th this morning. It's a psalm that many of us know. Whether you've grown up in the church or not, you're probably aware of this psalm. You've probably heard it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As I actually say that, I think of a rapper named Coolio who quotes that in his song in the 90s. This is a common psalm that people in the church and people outside of the church know. Well, they probably don't know this psalm deeply and intimately, but they're familiar with the words of it. The Lord is my shepherd. It's probably on a coffee mug somewhere, or like I said, in a song. For some reason, there's like 6 rappers that use "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death," even though I don't think they understand the context of this psalm, they're using that. It's so common. It's common at funerals. It's common at weddings. It's common in times of grief. Pastorally, this is one of the psalms that you're taught to know when you go to a hospital room. It's just everywhere. And so as I thought about preaching it, I love this passage, and I just struggled. God, where should I take this thing? Where should we go? And even as I'm standing here right now, I'm not sure. We might be in this for 3 weeks. We might wrap it all up today and move on to a different psalm next week. My preaching calendar, I'm planning to go to Psalm 46 next Sunday. But even as I'm preaching, I'm thinking we might end up spending 3 weeks on this psalm. I don't know. So you can be praying for me. You can just, I just pray that this psalm, whatever happens, no matter how long we're on it, I pray that it would stir our hearts with affection for Jesus Christ. And I pray that it would start this morning, that it would continue on in your own private devotional time in the life of our church, that we would see that the Lord is our shepherd. What does that mean for us? It means, I shall not want. Can you say that? Can you say the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want? I don't know about you, but my life is spent wanting. I want so many things that I don't have. Am I the only one? Probably not. And here, David, this is a psalm of David, the king of Israel. He says, I shall not want. He's content. He's satisfied, which is so unnatural for us. And so I think what we're going to do this morning is just start with David. He's the one who writes this psalm. So let's understand a little bit more about David. He writes 75 of the 150 Psalms. So we're going to come across him again. He's the primary author of these songs, of these worship songs that God's community in the Old Testament would sing to God. And so let's look at David. Right there in your Bible, it probably says a Psalm of David. Who was David? David is the shepherd turned king. That's who David is. Before he's the king of Israel, how many of you have heard of King David? And I don't want to assume that everyone in here grew up in the church. Quite a few of you. Put your hand up nice and high if you've heard of King David. And I'm not looking to see who hasn't. Sorry, I shouldn't have even done that. I don't want to make you feel awkward. Like, everyone else is doing it, I should do it. King David, he was one of the kings in the Old Testament of Israel. He was the king that Israelites loved. He was God's king, a man after God's own heart. He demonstrated what God was like. And he was actually a forerunner for Jesus Christ, the Messiah. When the Jews were looking for their Messiah, they were looking for someone who would reign and rule like King David because he set up a good kingdom. And they thought, okay, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to be similar to King David, but he's going to be better than King David. And Jesus came and he was similar to King David and he was better than King David. Although he didn't set up a geopolitical kingdom, he served this underground kingdom. And so David is this amazing king of Israel. He's like the president that everyone wishes America could have. As we're approaching election season, I haven't talked to a single person who's excited about the options. Israel was excited about David. They looked at this king and they said he was a great king. And so this is David, that great king, writing this psalm. Before he was that great king, though, he was a shepherd. You can look in 1 Samuel chapter 16 in it, and it tells a story of him becoming king. So Saul is the king of Israel, and Saul disobeyed God. So God said, I've rejected Saul as king. It's time to find a new king. And he sends Samuel, his prophet, to go to this town and to go to Jesse. And he says, one of Jesse's sons will become the next king of Israel. So Samuel obeys God. He goes to this town. He tells Jesse, I need to see your sons. One of them has been picked to be the next king of Israel. And so Jesse parades his sons in front of Samuel. And Samuel's thinking, okay, that one's going to be the king. And God says, nope, I've rejected that one. Don't look at the outward appearance. These guys who look like kings are coming by. And Samuel's like, ooh, that guy would make a good king. He looks like a leader. And God says, don't look at the outward appearance. Look at the heart. This is all in 1 Samuel 16. You can read it for yourself. And so all of Jesse's sons, almost all of Jesse's sons, are paraded in front of Samuel. And God says no. And Samuel's thinking, well, those were his sons. And so he asks Jesse, do you have any other sons? And Jesse says, oh yeah, I have one other son, but he's out in the fields with the sheep. He's the shepherd. He's the youngest son. He's out in the field. He's a nobody, really, is kind of the context here of what's happening. You've seen all my good sons. The little one's out in the field tending to the sheep. And Samuel says, bring him by. David. So they go out into the field. They fetch David. They bring him. And Samuel says, that's the one. That's the one, the shepherd. He's the future king of Israel. The nobody in the eyes of his brothers. He's the one that is anointed to go. And so this is David. Before he's a king, he's a shepherd. He's out in the field doing the tasks that none of his other brothers wanted to do. Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72 gives us a good picture of David's calling. It says, he chose David, speaking of God, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep's fold. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With an upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hands. David is a shepherd turned king. He took him from the sheepfold, from tending to nursing ewes, these stinky, filthy, disobedient animals. He took David from there and sent him to shepherd his people, to be the king of Israel. Just a little side note, that's a very personal passage for me in Psalm 78. A few years back, about 10 years ago now, I was at Crown College studying to go into youth ministry, and I started volunteering at this church out in Chaska. And I had been there for 5 months volunteering with this youth group. I was on a mission trip down to Chicago with one of my classes from Crown. We're in the inner city of Chicago. And I get a phone call from the youth pastor that night. And he said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I resigned from the church. And I think the elder team is going to ask you to step in. I don't think you're ready. So here's some different, thanks a lot for that vote of confidence, right? Here's some other churches that you may want to get plugged into. But do what you want. And so we hang up, and I'm wrestling, okay, if they do ask me, what's my response? My youth pastor says I'm not ready. I'm probably not. I was a 20-year-old dude who wore sweatpants all the time, so he was probably right in his assessment. So I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do? And I had been stuck on Psalm 78 for a couple weeks. I was reading through the Psalms, and I was stuck on this passage because it was boring me. You ever been there? You ever tried to read through the Bible and you get stuck on a certain passage and it bores you? Happened to me. So I'm stuck on this passage. It's all about these enemies and I didn't see how it applied. And that night I just said, you know what? I'm going to finish this psalm. I'm going to read it, finish it. So I get to those last two verses with this conversation with my youth pastor in my mind. I think they're going to ask you to shepherd the youth of the church. I don't think you're ready. It says, he chose David, his servant, took him from the sheepfold. I was building houses on the side. So that's how I was earning my living. I was building houses. I was going to school full-time and then volunteering with this youth group. David is working in the field, and God takes him from the sheepfold and sends him to be the king, the shepherd of Israel. And so I'm reading this passage, and it says, he took David from the sheepfold and sent him to be the king of Israel. I'm reading that, and I just felt like God was saying, I'm going to take you from building houses and put you in a position to build people. And I'm like, yeah, but so-and-so doesn't think I'm ready. Am I ready? And the last verse, it says, with upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with skillful hands. And I just felt like God was saying, make sure that you follow me and keep your heart right. Stay in my word. You can shepherd people if your heart is fixed on me. And if you learn the skills, go and do it. So this is a very personal passage for me, looking at David coming out of the sheepfold into becoming a leader. And it's just part of why I struggle to preach it, because I look at it and there's just so many different connotations that everyone has with Psalm 23 and so many different things that stir in my heart when I look at this passage, that I just kind of need to strip all that away and say, okay, what's here? Starting with David, a shepherd. God went after this simple guy, a shepherd out in the field, and drew him and used him to do great things. But the point of the psalm isn't David. David writes the psalm, and he's not writing about himself. He's not writing about his leadership abilities. He's not writing about the cool transformation of him becoming a shepherd of sheep to a shepherd of people, from him living out in the fields to living in this mansion in Israel. It's not about him, it's about God. David is writing about God. The point of this passage is God and God alone, that God is our shepherd. And David's praise of God is amazing, and we may end up just looking at that another week. I haven't decided yet. We may look at what is happening in David to cause him to respond this way, and how does that help him through life. But today, we just need to look at God in here. What is Psalm 23 teaching us about God? David, the shepherd, is completely dependent on him. It's one of the things that we see right there. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh. God's personal name. It means I am that I am. We sang a song, Great I Am, this morning. David is writing to the Great I Am, to Yahweh, the King, the Lord, the Maker, and he's saying, the Lord, the powerful one, is my shepherd. In Psalm 16, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, he says, Yahweh, the Lord, is my master. Psalm 16, verse 2, David says, Yahweh, the Lord, owner of all things, he's my master. That seems like an appropriate relationship, doesn't it? Master, he's in charge, he gives the commands, and I follow. Here, David gets intimate. He says, Yahweh, the master, is also my shepherd. He's the God who bends to bless us. He's the one who leaves his comfort to walk among his sheep, to get dirty, to smell like them, to be immersed in their life. One of the songs that we sang again this morning says, the God who bends to bless us. I hope that you notice those connections and lyrics that we sing in Scripture that we look at, because we're trying to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so David here in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. God, Yahweh, when a couple chapters before he said, he's my master, he's the rightful king of my life. Here he's saying, that king got off his throne and he walked among me. He's walking with me in the challenges of life. And we're going to go through this text and see what it tells us about God. But before we do, let's just stand and read it again. Page 458 in the Pew Bible. If you could stand and follow along. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may have a seat. So who is God in this text? God is both the shepherd and the host. Verses 1 through 4, we have specific shepherding imagery, and then 5 through 6, we have hosting imagery. Today, we're going to camp on 1 through 4. Next week, we might come back to 5 and 6. Haven't decided yet. But we're going to major on 1 through 4 today and look at the Lord as our shepherd. He is our shepherd, and what does that mean for us? Remember, David being a shepherd, the reason David uses this imagery is because, having been a shepherd, he understands the intimate relationship that a shepherd has with his sheep. What we need to know is that a sheep is fully dependent on the shepherd. A sheep can't live without a shepherd. There's this amazing book by a guy named Philip Keller written in the 70s, who was himself actually a shepherd. He grew up in East Africa shepherding sheep. That was his first job, and then he became a pastor, and he writes this book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. I highly recommend each of you go out and buy it. And he talks through Psalm 23 and says, this is what is happening here with the shepherd-sheep relationship. And he breaks it down, and it's an incredible book. And what he gets into is saying that, really, a sheep is fully dependent on the shepherd. A sheep will die and have a pathetic life without a shepherd. And so the first thing to notice here is that David, the king of Israel, he is one of the most powerful men in the world. He claims his dependency on someone else. How many times do people in power think that they need others? Not often. Especially, maybe you have power, influence in one area of your life, and you think you've got it, you're good to go. David, the king of Israel, says, the Lord is my shepherd. Saying he needs to be led. He's dependent on someone else. So we see in here that the Lord is the shepherd. He is the one in charge. And David is fully dependent on him. Because of this truth, if God is our shepherd, what are the implications of that? What does David say is true about his life because he has a good shepherd? Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, that's the truth that he declares. What's the result? He says, I shall not want. I shall not want. David had everything that he needed. He was satisfied. Not in the circumstances of life. David lived in a cave when he was on the run from Saul. David lived in the field as a shepherd of sheep. David lived in the palace of Jerusalem as king. He doesn't say, I shall not want because of any of those. Through all of life's circumstances, he says, I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. He's a good shepherd who leads me, and I have nothing. I have everything that I need in him. And we'll see how he unpacks that more throughout the text, but he's content. David doesn't want. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He feeds David. The good shepherd feeds him, allowing him to rest, bringing him into green pastures and still waters. According to Philip Keller in his book, sheep don't lie down unless they're free from four things. Sheep are a very skittish species. They are easily frightened, and they need constant attention from their shepherd. And Philip Keller says, if sheep are free of four things, then they will lay down. They need to be free of fear. If they have any hint of fear of predators or whatever the circumstances are, if they have any hint of fear, they won't lay down. They will stand up and stay paranoid and anxious. They need to be free of fear. They also need to be free of tension. If there's friction in the flock among sheep, they won't lay down. If they're fighting over some little patch of grass to eat, they won't lay down until they work that tension out. Sheep need to be free of fear, free of tension, free of aggravation, flies or parasites or whatever it is that might be bothering them. If they're aggravated, they won't lay down. And they need to be free of hunger and thirst. They need to be satisfied. And when all those things happen, a sheep will lie and rest. And so here, David is saying that God leads him beside still waters and in green pastures and allows him to lay down. He's saying, God is the one who keeps me free of fear, free of tension with others, free of aggravation, and free from hunger and thirst. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He has nothing else in life that he needs because he has everything in the Lord his God. David says that he restores my soul. Sheep will fall over. If they're off balance or they step in a hole or whatever, they'll fall over, and these little animals can't get up on their own. Philip Keller in his book, he says it's an incredibly awful sight. Sheep will be out in the pasture and the shepherd's doing something or whatever, and that's why he counts his sheep when they come back from being out to make sure that they're all there, to make sure that one hasn't flipped over. Because they will sit there and they will kick trying to flip themselves back over, but they can't. And if the conditions are right, they'll die within a few hours. If it's too hot out, they'll lay there on their back trying to turn themselves over, and they'll die within the same day. And here David says, he restores my soul. How many of us have broken souls, hungry souls, needy souls. Sometimes it feels like we're flipped upside down spiritually. And here, David, being a shepherd, knows what happens with the sheep when they flip upside down. They need someone from outside to come and put them back up, to stand them on their feet. And here, David, throughout the Psalms, he pours out his soul, and he goes through seasons of life where he has a broken soul. And he's saying, he's the one who restores me. He's the one who flips me back up on my feet. He's the one who restores my soul. He's the shepherd. David says that he leads him in righteousness. Second half of verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. He's the one who helps me to know right and wrong. A shepherd leads a sheep, guides a sheep into the areas that the sheep must go, into the right way to walk. God guides us in his word. God guided David, telling him, what does it look like to be righteous and to follow God's good law? He guided him. And then it says, for his name's sake. Not for David's fame, but for God's own fame. No one, when I've been in Romania, and I've seen shepherds bring sheep into the little town, the village that we were staying by. And when a shepherd brings a good-looking flock of sheep into the village, the people don't say, that's a great, that they will notice that it's a good-looking flock, that the sheep are well-fed, that the sheep are doing well, but they don't say, those are great sheep. They say, oh, that's the good shepherd. He takes care of those sheep. That flock is well-behaved, well-fed, they look well-nourished, because so-and-so is a good shepherd. So David says that God leads him, he restores him, for God's glory, for God's fame, for his own name's sake. Not for David's upbuilding and David's exaltation. He's the king of Israel here, and he says that God does everything that he does in and through me so that he might get the glory. In Psalm 16, a couple weeks ago, as we looked at that, we saw that David said, nothing good is in me except for what comes from the Lord. As great of a king as David was, he says, there's nothing good in me. God leads me, and God does everything in and through me so that he might get the glory, so that he might get the praise, so that other would look at him and say, that must be a good shepherd. I want to follow that shepherd. So that other sheep would say, I want to get in that flock. I want to follow that shepherd because he can bless me and he can help me to lay down by green pastures and lead me beside still waters. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd, God, Yahweh, guides David and protects David in the valleys of life. We all go through valleys, through challenges, don't we? David here is acknowledging it, saying, life doesn't always work out the way that I would desire or intend, but God guides me. And in fact, God guides us into those valleys. A good shepherd will lead sheep down into valleys to find still waters. Sometimes the still waters are down in the valleys. Sometimes in life, when we're tested, when trials come, we find God in those seasons, don't we? We cling to him and we drink deeply of him when we're wrestling through a valley of life. Oftentimes we forget about God when we're on the mountaintop. So a shepherd leads sheep to mountains. They find different type of grazing pastures on the mountainside, but then they go down into a valley to find still waters. And here David is saying that though I go through valleys and sometimes I'm on mountain peaks, I will fear no evil. Doesn't matter what I go through because God is there with his rod and his staff comforted him. A rod and a staff are used to guide sheep. So a shepherd will use the rod and staff to help guide sheep into the best way that they're to walk. He also uses the rod and staff to discipline the sheep. So if the sheep is acting up, the shepherd will whack the sheep with the rod and staff so that they would learn the right way. God disciplines those he loves. The shepherd isn't going to, if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, the shepherd isn't going to allow you to keep pursuing sin and wreaking havoc on your life willfully. He's going to discipline you. Your conscience is going to start eating at you. Hopefully you're in a church community where people are saying, I don't think that lines up with God's word, and there's some loving discipline and correction going on in your church community. And it's God's rod and staff helping to guide you through valleys of shadows of death so that you would walk with him, so that you would taste and see that he is good. I'm going to save verses 5 and 6 for next week, I think, and we'll look at those next week in light of God being a host. I think it does also apply to God being the shepherd. Verse 5, we'll look at them briefly. I told you I'm making this up as I go, so bear with me. Verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I think the greater imagery here is God being the host, and so we'll look at that next week. But also, shepherds will anoint sheep with oil, or some kind of concoction made out of different things. When flies come, it drives sheep crazy. They can't relax. They're anxious with little critters buzzing around their head. So shepherds will concoct this little oil and put it on their head that keeps the flies away. And so David continues with that theme. I think this second part has both a host and a shepherd theme. And going with the shepherd theme, it's saying that David is saying, like I would put oil on my sheep's head to keep the flies away, God anoints me with the Holy Spirit to keep temptation and frustration of sin away. We'll dig more into that one next week. And then he wraps it up here in verse 6, saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying, David is saying, I am a sheep. I'm fully dependent on my shepherd, and to be in the presence of my shepherd, to dwell in his flock, is the best possible thing for me. I want to dwell with my shepherd. I want to dwell in his flock. I want to be in his house. And we'll talk about what that means in a hosting standpoint more next week. But David here is just acknowledging, I'm a dependent on God, the shepherd. The king of Israel is saying, I'm a sheep. I'm dependent on someone else to lead me. And this is what God does. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He turns me up. He puts me on my feet. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his glory and name's sake. He leads me through valleys and mountain peaks, and he's with me all along. His rod and staff are comforting me so that I need not fear. That's my God. That's my shepherd. He's prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and he's anointed my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's my shepherd. This is what David is saying about God. That's who God is. He does all of those things for his sheep. It's the kind of shepherd that he is. So I think we need to ask ourselves, can you, with David, say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Can you say that? Is that true of you? Who is your shepherd? How do you live your life? Can you really, along with David, say that you're okay because you need not anything? You have no wants? The Lord is your shepherd? I hope you can say that. I hope you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, we should be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, with more gusto than David did. David was a shepherd who understood what shepherding meant, but David prophesied in part. He knew of the coming Messiah. He knew that God would come in the flesh, that he would send a Messiah to save them. And he knew, because God put it in his heart, that this future Messiah would have shepherding characteristics. But David didn't know Jesus. David lived before Jesus. And so David prophesied in part what we see in full. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, who are we talking about? Some vague Yahweh up there? We are talking about Yahweh up there who created the heavens and the earth. But who, more specifically, are we calling our shepherd? Jesus. Jesus Christ. The Lord is my good shepherd. Jesus comes in John chapter 10. Flip to John 10 with me. So Jesus, God incarnate, is here walking among the earth, and here's what he says, John 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in over another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Then he has brought out all his own. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Remember, the good shepherd, David is saying, Yahweh gives me abundant life. He leads me beside still waters, by green pastures. He restores my soul. And here Jesus is saying, I have come to give them the abundant life. Verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The people he's talking to here knew David. They thought David was this great king. They were looking for the Messiah to come. And they knew Psalm 23, that the Lord is a shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And so here Jesus the Messiah comes and he says, I am that good shepherd. I am the one that David was talking about. I am the image of the invisible God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know his own sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them and they will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. So Jesus comes as the good shepherd and he says, he fulfills everything that David prophesied about, everything that David longed for from Yahweh, the living God. Jesus comes and he fulfills it. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you, my sheep. And so who is your shepherd? Can you say confidently that Jesus is your shepherd? If you're not sure and you're here this morning, you don't know that Jesus is your shepherd, if you don't know his voice, please talk to me afterward. Don't you want to experience the abundant life where you can say, I shall not want? Don't you want to live in the green pasture and go to the still water? And if you are a Christian, you can say with confidence that Jesus is your good shepherd. Are you experiencing the life that should give you? Can you say along with David, you don't need anything? I shall not want because I have him. What more could I ask for? I have the good shepherd. We sang a song. I shouldn't have said that. There's a song out there. We haven't sung it at our church. There's a song out there, and it's not a bad song. I just don't really appreciate it because one of the lyrics is, it's on the radio, I've heard it, some people have encouraged us to do it, and I've said no. It says, what our fathers saw in the days of old, would you do it again? This is one of the lyrics in the song, and what it's saying is the Old Testament prophets, what our fathers saw in the days of old, God, would you do that type of stuff among us again? And the reason I say no to that song is because we have more than they had. We have Jesus, the good shepherd, the image of the invisible God. We don't need to look back at David and say, God, could I have the kind of relationship with you that David had? We have Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the hope that David had. The good shepherd has come and walked among us. Who is your shepherd? Are you aware that you're a sheep in need of the shepherd? You have the shepherd. He's with you. He's guiding you. You need not fear. If you don't have the shepherd, he's calling out to you. Why don't you join the fold? Jump in. He'll lead you beside still waters and into green pastures. So if Jesus, your good shepherd, if Jesus is your good shepherd, how are you living? How are you living? Can you, with David, say all those things? Is he leading you? Are you listening to the voice of your shepherd? Are you following him? With Jesus and you in mind, let's look back at Psalm 23 real quickly with just a couple questions. So if Jesus is your good shepherd, how are you living your life? Are you dependent on Jesus? David says, the Lord is my shepherd, the most powerful man in the world. Says, I am a sheep in need of a shepherd. Are you able to say that with confidence, that you are lowly and humbled and you need a shepherd to guide you? Or do you think you're okay and you've got it? If we realize that we're sheep in need of a shepherd, we, like David, should say, I'm so dependent on God, the good shepherd, on Jesus Christ, to lead me, to guide me, to protect me. Are you dependent on Jesus, acknowledging your need for him, your good shepherd? Are you satisfied and content in what he brings into your life? If he's your good shepherd, can you, like David, say, I shall not want? That's the only response if we really get this and understand that he's our good shepherd. A sheep in a good flock with a good shepherd has no need of anything else. They're totally clueless to the pressures of life until they go to the slaughterhouse. We won't walk that one out too much. Sheep were created for a purpose and their life is limited, but so is ours. Sheep don't live on after their death. We do. We have a good shepherd who, even though our life here may be in the valley of a shadow of death, can we, with David, say, I shall not want, because I hear my good shepherd voice, and I know eternally I will, in the end, say like David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David wasn't talking about life circumstances. He's talking about eternal things. He says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what life throws you, are you satisfied and content because of the good shepherd is leading you? Is your spirit and soul at rest? If we know Jesus, the good shepherd, we should be able to do what he tells us. Come to him. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. David says he leads us beside still waters and restores his soul, and he helps us to lie down. If Jesus is our good shepherd, you should be dependent on him, be satisfied and content. You should be able to rest. Are you anxious? Trust Jesus, your good shepherd. He's leading you. He can wipe away your anxiety. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will help you rest. Have you been restored, renewed, or revived? David says that he restores my soul. Jesus is the ultimate picture of that. In Acts chapter 9, chapter 3, verse 19, Peter is preaching, and right after the day of Pentecost, he's preaching, and all the people are cut to the heart, and they say, what shall we do? And Acts 3:19, he says, repent and be baptized, and the renewing of the Lord will come. Here David says that God revives his soul. How does that happen? Through repentance. Through saying, I'm broken, I'm a sheep in need of a shepherd, my good shepherd has been given to me, therefore I'm going to follow him, and he revives my soul, he restores me. Are you living in obedience, walking the paths of righteousness? David said he leads us in paths of right living. Are you following him obediently in right paths? Are you obeying his commands? Are you okay with him getting all the glory? David says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Are you okay being a nobody and God being everything? The good shepherd should get all of the credit, all of the glory. Stop worrying about your own approval from others. Point and direct all glory to God. Are you embracing the valleys of life as Jesus leads you through them? Or are you just hoping to get to the mountain peak? We need to embrace the valleys because Jesus, the good shepherd, is there with us. Are you living fearlessly knowing that he's with you? David said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don't worry about what happens in life. If your good shepherd is with you, you should fear no evil. Now, a good shepherd, sometimes their flocks still get ransacked by lions and bears. David, the good shepherd, killed lions and bears with his little sling in his hands. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 17. Awesome shepherd. I think we're going to look more at him later because he's an amazing guy. But even if death comes, you should be able to say with David, I'm okay. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, and even though my life may end in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because God is with me. The good shepherd is with me. And death is merely a doorway to the eternal glories that I will experience at his right hand. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What can death do to me? Like Paul says in the New Testament, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? It has none because the good shepherd is with us in life and in death, ushering in a new reality. Do you live your life with that confidence? Listen to the good shepherd. Follow the good shepherd. In him, you can too say, I shall not want. I can rest. My anxiety is gone. If you're struggling with those things, it's not because you're a bad Christian. It's because you've forgotten that you have a good shepherd who's with you. I think sometimes we pile on guilt on Christians for being weak. just remember that you have a good shepherd who's with you. He's the one who will lead you. In him, you can say, I have no fears, I have no needs, I have no wants, because my eternal future is secure. I'm okay. You can live your life with confidence as the good shepherd leads you. Two responses for you this morning. Are you a sheep in God's flock, in Jesus' flock? Is Jesus your good shepherd? If not, follow him. Submit your life to him. Allow him to be your good shepherd. If you are, remember the gospel. Remember the good shepherd. Remember that he's for you, that he's leading you, that he's guiding you, and no matter what happens in this temporary life, you're okay, because the good shepherd is intimately aware of every detail of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we address you humbly. You are high and seated on your throne. You are Yahweh, our master, our maker, our Lord. And yet you left your throne. You walked among us. You came to our, to this flock, to these sheep. And you led us like a good shepherd. You continue to lead us like a good shepherd. And Lord, I know that everyone in this room needs the peace that comes with understanding and hearing and knowing and following the good shepherd. So Lord, I pray that you would make yourself very real and evident to us, and that we would follow obediently, that we might, like David, be able to say, I shall not want. You, Jesus, are the good shepherd. We shall not want. We're able to lie down in green pastures and to be led beside still waters, and our souls are revived and restored, and you're able to lead us in righteousness so that you would get all the credit and glory. And no matter what happens in our life, for in the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear any evil, because you are there with us in that very moment and place. You're intimately aware, and your rod and your staff are leading us through it and comforting us and disciplining us. And you've prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You've anointed our head with oil, and our cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life because of what you have done for us, Jesus our good shepherd, and we will dwell in your house forever and ever and ever. May we fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, and may we hear and follow you, the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.